I was doing a lot of reflection on Memorial Day. Well, with the wife, we were basically binge watching a lot of military themed films. But the one that she didn't want to digest was Saving Private Ryan. She thought it was too brutal, too gruesome, too violent. I'm like, well, what about Black Hawk Down and the other war movies that we saw? Modern stuff is something she'll tolerate more. But well, that's what Memorial Day was supposed to be about. Reflecting on where we are based on where we come from. And what I point to is two things. One, learning from history. That goes hand in hand with education. You need to understand how we got here, what we've overcome, in order to continue moving forward towards progress. And number two, that what it means to be woefully ignorant of that history. That's the point, that we need to understand history, not revisionist history, actual history. There's an article that I missed out on because of all the craziness, and I had to tune out from social media. And again, I'm all into history, so this one really hits me. There is a monument in Massachusetts devoted to the 54th Regiment. The 54th Regiment, Massachusetts, which was a regiment during the Civil War. So they were on the Union side, fighting against the Confederacy. The significance of this memorial isn't so much that it's reflecting on the Civil War, but because this regiment was the first official black regiment to fight. There's a movie that tells their story by Edward Zwick. It's called Glory. It stars Matthew Broderick, Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington, that earned him his first Academy Award, by the way, and Gary Elwes. Now, we have Black History Month, which is February. I do remember seeing a little bit of it when I was in school. So it probably is required viewing, or at least was. I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since I graduated from school. I graduated from high school about 18 years ago. Oh, over 18 years ago now. Man, yikes. I gotta do math. And the story, the movie has inaccuracies because it's Hollywood, of course, and it has some melodramatic parts that never happened, but that doesn't detract from the point of the story. And there's some poignant moments there that speak to our times. Glory tells the story of Colonel Robert Gould Shaw. He wasn't a colonel. He ended up becoming colonel when his family, that's well connected in conjunction with the government and at the push of Frederick Douglass, which is one of the most important black history figures that we have in this country. You should definitely look him up if you're not familiar with him. They were able to organize the first what is called Negro Regiment. There were free black men in the North, because the North was basically abolished slavery, but the South maintained slavery, and Abraham Lincoln wanted to pass the Emancipation Proclamation, and he basically ended up getting the confidence to do so with Congress after the Battle of Antietam. The Battle of Antietam was the first major battle that took place in the Northern Territory. And it's considered a victory for the North only by virtue of one commander from the South screwing up by putting the battle plans in Southern tobacco, which is loved by everybody back then. So the plans fell when this guy was getting on a horse, as the story goes. And this is not in the movie, by the way. I'm just a history buff. My two favorite periods of history are the Civil War and World War II, in that order. So this commander drops the plans from Robert E. Lee, who was the major general to the Army of Northern Virginia. And when the Union troops are going by that same area sometime later, someone finds this pack of Southern tobacco. It's like, woohoo, Southern tobacco. They unroll it to find the battle plans. Like, oh my goodness, is this for real? So yeah, they give it to the general. My goodness, what was the name of that general? McClellan? George McClellan, I think it was. So he said, with this paper here, I will whip Bobby Lee. So they end up clashing in Antietam. Just to give you an idea what Antietam was, it was a one-day battle where we suffered double the casualties of D-Day invasion. I want you to let that sink in. Double the casualties that America suffered in D-Day. If you've seen Saving Private Ryan, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not just that. We're talking about paratroopers that had to jump over and planes that had to drop these paratroopers behind enemy lines. That's all part of D-Day. We suffered double the casualties in the bloodiest single day in American history. That's Antietam. And at the end of the day, the North wins that battle. And it's through that, basically, that gives the push to have the Emancipation Proclamation signed and basically freeing the black man in the United States. But the South has already seceded, so they had the Confederate States of America juxtaposed against the United States of America. The Southern Confederacy had a president named Jefferson Davis. That was their first president. And they established a Congress. The Congress was obviously getting word that there was a movement to get the black men together to form some kind of regiment or get involved in the war against the Confederacy. So they announced that if there are any black men taking up arms against the Confederacy, those captured will be immediately returned to slavery in the plantations or wherever it is. They also stated that if they find any black man in a Union uniform, they will be summarily executed. And if they find any white man in charge of any black regiment, they will get the same treatment. The South had no respect for any white man willing to help black men fight against the Confederacy. And that's a key point. Because the story of glory, in this case, where Robert Gould Shaw becomes a colonel, the 54th Massachusetts, and he has to basically get these black men. The movie tries to show that they're mostly slaves. They're not. They're mostly freedmen, but there were some slaves in there, former slaves, to get together to become a band of brotherhood and to be able to be ready to go to war. Problem was that the military had no intention of using the black regiment to go to war, despite the fact that they wanted to get in there. It was for their people. It was send a message. But it didn't matter. They were wearing uniforms and they were basically relegated to doing heavy labor to clear the path for the Union soldiers walking by. The key characters here are played by there's four main black actors in here that tell a story, but I think that the three main ones, mostly Denzel's character, aka Tripp, Morgan Freeman's character, who was a grave digger at Antietam, and befriends Robert Gould Shaw in as far as the story goes. His name is Sergeant Rawlings because he becomes a non-commissioned officer. And then oh my goodness, what is this actor's name? He's the guy that plays the police chief in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, for those of you that are fans of him. His name keeps eluding me. Well, anyway, he plays the educated black man that grew up with Robert Shaw in Massachusetts. So he's very learned. And as Denzel's character Tripp says, you speak as good as white folk. And that's why Tripp doesn't like AKA Snowflake. He calls this educated black man a snowflake. So they keep getting into it because Denzel's character is a runaway slave. And have you ever heard the expression, "You man of the whole world because you've been whipped and chased by hounds"? That's something that Morgan Freeman's character ends up saying to Denzel, and it's one of the most powerful speeches, actually. If you're finding any inspirational, powerful quotes, it's from the confrontation that finally happens from Morgan Freeman's character to Denzel's character, because Denzel's character was insulting to, like, the max, aka Snowflake. So when Morgan finally steps in and this guy keeps using the N slur to describe everybody, Morgan can't take it anymore.
"Let me tell you something, boy. You can march like the white man. You can talk like him. You can learn his songs. You can even wear his suits. But you ain't never gonna be nothing to him but an ugly ass chimp in a blue suit. Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No.
Well, what are we gonna do about it? Want to fight me, boy? Huh? What you gonna do about it? You want to fight me, don't you? Don't you?" "Come on, Mickey.
All right.
Get your hands off me, Grave Digger.
Oh, God damn it. Does the whole world got a stump in your face?
Nigga, you better get your hands off me.
Ain't no niggas around here, you hear me?
Oh, I see. So the white man give you a couple of stripes, next thing you know, you hollering, ordering everybody around like you the master himself. Nigga, you ain't nothing but the white man's dog.
What are you? So full of hate, you just want to go out and fight everybody. Because you've been whipped and chased by hounds. Well, that might not be living, but it sure as hell ain't dying. And dying's what these white boys been doing for going on 3 years now. Dying by the thousands. Dying for you, fool. I know, because I dug the graves. And all the time I'm digging, I'm asking myself when, oh Lord, is going to be our time? Well, time's coming when we're going to have to ante up. Ante up and kick in like men. Like men!
You watch who you call a nigger. If any niggers around here, it's you.
Smart mouth, stupid ass, swamp running nigger. If you ain't careful, that's all you ever gonna be.
There is so much weight in that. There's so much power in that, because it's just opposed to our times, where especially right now, where they're saying we're supposed to listen, we got to sit down, we got to come together as a human race and find common solutions. I'm all for that, absolutely. But the problem is that these arguments made by the activist movement versus the actual black community that's being silenced, they don't seem to be speaking in the same terms. They seem to be at odds with one another, which I find disconcerting if we're supposed to reach a consensus, because like, okay, so who are we supposed to listen to if they can't agree? The article that I missed was that the 54th Massachusetts Monument was vandalized by the activist movement. Vandalized. And I have to ask, do you have any idea what you just vandalized? The 54th Massachusetts Regiment, the first black regiment to fight for their freedom. There's a key point in the film that since I recently rewatched it, because I've been watching a lot of historical stuff lately during the lockdown, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's all coming to a head now. One of the things that struck most of me, because I didn't remember this when I watched it again, was when Matthew Broderick's character, Robert Gould Shaw, after one of the battles, it goes talk to Denzel's character Tripp and tells him, Sergeant Rawlings says that you ought to be commended for your bravery, your actions, and your stoicness during battle. Would you carry the colors? The expression carry the colors means to carry the flag. So that means you're not carrying a gun. You're carrying a flag at the front lines into battle.
As you were. Trip, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, you fought very well yesterday, Trip. Sergeant Rollins has recommended that you receive a commendation.
Yes.
Yes. And I think you should bear the regimental colors.
Well,
it's considered quite an honor. Why not?
Well, I'm wanting to say something, sir, but I...
Go ahead.
All right. See, I ain't fighting this war for you, sir.
I see.
I mean, what's the point? Ain't nobody gonna win. It's just gonna go on and on.
Can't go on forever.
Yeah, but ain't nobody gonna win, sir.
Somebody's gonna win.
Who? I mean, you get to go on back to Boston, big house and all that. What about us? What do we get?
Well, you won't get anything if we lose.
The
What do you want to do?
I don't know, sir.
It stinks, I suppose.
Yeah. Stinks bad. And we all covered up in it, too. I mean, ain't nobody clean. Be nice to get clean, though.
How do we do that?
We ain't help 'em kick in, sir. But I still don't want to carry your flag.
Now let's just oppose it to the climatic battle. The spoilers are coming, folks. Here it comes. This happened. This is history. The biggest battle that the 54th Massachusetts had to fight was the assault on Fort Wagner. I think it was North Carolina or South Carolina. I got to double check that. But it was a fort next to the sea and is being bombarded by the Union Navy. The problem was how the fort was set up. The fort, where it was, basically overlooking the sea. So it has the ocean as a natural way to avoid an invasion unless the boats really power through. But next to on the land side of things, next to the fort were marshes. So the only approach you can make to the fort was along the sand dunes. Sand. You ever try running on sand? Yeah. The movie shows the approach being done from the north to the south. It wasn't. It was from the south to the north. Just a minor error there. But the point is, the assault was just the same. So the 54th Massachusetts is the first to go. They volunteered. They want to go. We want to do this. We want to send a message. We will be the first to go. Because they were the first ones, they knew most of them were going to die. They absolutely knew that. Robert Shaw knew that. He had written many letters home. In the film, he gives it to Pierce from the Harper's Weekly, which is one of the big newspapers at the time. Those letters are kept at the Smithsonian Museum, so you can actually read those. He and everyone knew that they were facing certain death. There was nowhere to find cover, but they were going to do this. As they're about to charge, in real life, it was General Strong who was in charge of the assault. But in the film, they use Matthew Broderick's character, Robert Shaw, to stand before the infantry and ask if the man who's carrying the flag falls, who will pick up the flag and carry on? And of course, the camera is kind of highlighting Denzel's character because that's who was being offered before this. But the one that takes up the task and who pledges to do so is Robert's best friend growing up, or one of his best friends growing up, Thomas, aka Snowflake. And he says, "I will." It's okay. Then they do the assault. It's bright afternoon. The Confederacy's bombarding them like crazy. They're able to get some cover, and they continue their charge at night. So the fort battle is mostly fought at night, and they're just mostly pinned down because they gotta go upslope on sand to try to get to the barricades, go over the walls, and then finally break into the fort. It's just a massive task, and they don't have any heavy artillery on their side to help them. It's really just charging bayonets and bullets to try to go up against the hellfire volley of muskets and the repeated explosions from dynamite and cannon fire. You have any idea what it's doing to these guys? It is tearing them up, and they are not backing down. The 54th Regiment kept pushing. But they had to break away from where they were being pinned down because they were like fish caught in the barrel. So Robert leads the charge to call out, "We got to do this." So he leads the charge. The color bearer, the guy with the flag, he gets shot dead. He falls with the flag. Robert keeps pushing. And Robert gets shot dead too. So when that happens, this commander that the 54th Massachusetts thought, like, my goodness, this guy, he's brutal. He's not much better than a slave owner. Like, some things don't change. And then realizing that he was just trying to get them into battle formation because he's seen war too. And they haven't. It's like, you have to understand that war is different from training. This is a real deal. And now this is their second battle, according to the film. And realizing that he died for them. He died to lead them there. And now the flag is down. Thomas is the one that's supposed to pick it up. But instead, Denzel's character Trip goes to pick up the flag and yells, "Come on!" And that's what riles up everybody, like, just push on through, go! Denzel's character Trip is shot dead. So then someone else carries the flag, but what's poignant is that Trip, his body slumps over Shaw. They fought and died together. And they carried that flag up that hill. They fought tooth and nail to try to take over that fort. And the heartbreak is, the fort stood. The next day, the Confederate flag goes up. The bodies of the Union soldiers have to be moved from there. So there's a mass grave being dug, and the black soldiers are being thrown in there. Normally, officers have a separate ceremony. And in this case, the officers of the black regiment were white. The commissioned officers were white. But because the Confederacy had no respect for any white man that was willing to lead black men against other white men, they buried Robert with the infantry, which to them, they were insulting Robert. So they cast his body in there, and the fort stood. The movie says that the fort stayed there, that stood in the Confederate command or control until the end of the war. That's not true. I think it was a few months later, the fort does fall into Union hands. So, but the mere fact is that these men sent a message. The 54th Massachusetts were fighting for their freedom and for their people's freedom. And they were not scared in the face of certain death. They faced it. They took it on. They paid with their lives. And so did the white officers that were brave enough to command them. After the war, Mr. Shaw, Robert's father, went over to see the Fort Wagner burial site. And there were those that were with him that said, "Do you want to exhume your son's body? In other words, you want us to dig up your son out of here so we can give him a proper burial?" And Mr. Shaw said, No. This is exactly where my son wanted to be buried." That's beautiful. Those that don't know, don't know. And it's exhibited by the fact that the monument to this regiment was vandalized. That angers me to the core. Do you guys have any idea? No, they don't, because no one teaches this. I'm not black and I'm not white. Soy Hispano. I feel for all of it. All of it. Because I would not be able to enjoy these freedoms here. What sacrifice of all these men. I'm a student of history. I learn from it. And my kids will learn from it because I will teach it to them. I don't want them to ever forget about it. That's how we move forward. By understanding our past so we can progress to the future. I'll see you guys in the next one.